Okay, let's get going. So welcome to the last learning lecture in the EF2B course. The last learning lecture is also underspecified, as you will see, as you know, it's all it says is review and conclusion of learning thread, and there are no slides attached to it. What it's meant to be, I'll basically give you a 20 minutes recap of the material that we've covered in the course from a kind of a high-level perspective, trying to highlight the important concepts behind each section of the course. And then there's kind of free time for questions, if you wish. I think, as I said last time, we now know what's the date of the exam, which I believe is going to be the 7th of May. There will be a lecture in the middle of the revision period, so around second half of April, where both KK and myself turn up and take questions, essentially. So that is another opportunity to ask questions at the stage where you hopefully have done a substantial amount of revision and you can ask very meaningful questions. Okay, so what am I going to talk about today? Well, I put up the course lecture schedule, and anyway, the first the whole concept behind the INF2B course in general is how to organize and learn from data. My part is about the learning. But the two things are obviously connected. When you're given data, what kind of things can you do in order to gain further information? So typical things we want to do is to try to predict the answer to possible queries given training answers. Or we may want to identify groups in data, or we may want to identify patterns in terms of associations between inputs and outputs data. So the first few lectures, and I would say probably up to the nearest neighbor lecture, so up to the 3rd of February, that was the first 3 weeks of the course, we focused essentially on getting as much as possible out from the most simple possible structures. So when you're given data, data to me means a set of features corresponding to actual measurements that you have performed. Wow, we get more audience today than in most lectures when it's the most content-free lecture of all. So that's great. Okay, but the first part of the course, first 3 weeks, what we've looked at is how far can we go by just looking at the simplest geometric relationships between the data points. Okay, and this essentially means Euclidean distance. And one of the formulae you need to remember is the formula for Euclidean distance, which actually you should know. So the distance between two vectors, x and y, is the sum over all their components. These are supposed to be d-dimensional of xi minus yi squared. And what can we do with distance? We can do quite a few things. Okay? So the first two lectures, which were kind of a gentle warm-up, were trying to predict, for example, simple recommender systems. So find, given a collection of items, items could be critics, could be movies, for which we have some numerical scores, so we have numerical features. For a critic, the numerical features would be the marks, the grades, or whatever that they've given to a series of movies. Given this type of data, we can identify which two critics are most similar, or which critics are most similar to your own preferences, and use these to build an elementary recommender system. And in fact, often, as we've seen, instead of using simply Euclidean distance, we use actually the similarity, which is essentially a regularized version of its inverse. Okay. So that we can find which two critics are most similar, hence have the least distance. But we can also do slightly more interesting things. We can start thinking about how to perform clustering. And the idea behind clustering is that we want to identify groups of data such that the average distance between points in the same cluster is small, and the distance between points in different clusters is big. So we've seen, so this allowed us to build recommender systems. It allowed us to do clustering. And in order to do clustering, we had to introduce, well, I gave you an algorithm, the k-means algorithm, and then I've showed you that there is a cost function, an objective function that k-means algorithm is minimizing, which is essentially exactly what I've said. So it's the distance from the means of the clusters of all the points. And we want to make these smaller so that clusters are as compact as possible. And it allows us, if we have training data, so if we have training data of the input-output type, so if we have a label attached to each data point, it allows us to predict labels of new data points by looking at nearest neighbors. Okay? We've seen nearest neighbor classification, but there is equally well something called nearest neighbor regression, where your label attached to each data point is a continuous variable. Okay? So you want to predict, say, the humidity given the temperature. You may say, you get a new day for which you have a certain temperature, you assign it to the humidity level of the day with the nearest temperature. That would be nearest neighbor regression. Okay? So conceptually, the common thing to all of these is that all we exploited was the elementary geometry underlying the feature space in which the data live. Okay. All we did was just looking at Euclidean distances. We didn't have a concept of trying to model the variation between various data points, trying to model noise. And that's what we did essentially for all the rest of the course. Okay. But the first thing we did was to start introducing concepts from statistics. Okay. So the first 3 weeks, we looked at distance. Most of the rest of the course, essentially from the 3rd of February until the 9th of March, so for the following 4 or 5 weeks, depending whether you count the innovative learning week as part of it, we started, so for the 7th of February, we started thinking about statistics. Okay? So so the idea is now to start thinking that the data actually comes from a probability distribution. So if you see one fish, that is a sample from the population of all fish, which has a certain variability, and generates, at random, fish that then you catch. How can we go about doing statistical pattern recognition and statistical modeling when the simplest thing is really to stay entirely empirical? So say we've observed 20 fish, we build the probability distribution of the fish from the observations by creating a histogram. But of course, we could also start in, let's say, a parametric way. So we could start saying, OK, there are some probability distributions which are particularly important. And we could start thinking maybe a certain type of data is suitably modeled by a certain type of probability distribution. And that's what we did for text. Came up with two models. Text has the first problem, which is how do you represent text in a numerical feature way? And depending on how you choose to represent text, you end up with two standard types of probability distributions that you have to adopt as your statistical pattern recognition algorithm. So in the case of discrete data, as text is intrinsically, we ended up with Bernoulli models and multinomial models. Each of these relies on a specific probability distribution, the Bernoulli distribution or the multinomial distribution. Or in the case of continuous variables, we consider the case of the Gaussian distribution. In one dimension or in multiple dimensions. And the underlying tool that we used for all, in all of these models was Bayes' theorem. Okay? So in all cases, whichever choice you make, either an empirical distribution or a text or a parametric discrete model or a Gaussian model, what you want to do is to have some prior beliefs about the belonging of data to classes, train your model on training data, so determine the distribution of the model, and then use Bayes' theorem to a posteriori classify a new type, a new data point in one of your classes. So this would be the first part of the course. This would be the second part of the course if we wanted to group these. And then finally, the third part of the course, which was really about discriminant functions and neural networks, we questioned the statistical pattern recognition approach in terms of trying to focus directly on the task at hand. So the task at hand is not to understand how fish are generated, it's to discriminate between the two sexes of fish. So the third part looked at the discriminative paradigm, which means do not model the way in which the data is generated, just model the way you're going to partition the data. Okay? So what it does, it focuses on partitioning. And it can be often more succinct in terms of the number of parameters. Okay. But it does have a link with statistical models, at least in some cases. And the primary example that we've seen is the neural network. And we spent some considerable time explaining how linear single-layer neural networks are equivalent to Gaussian discriminants, to classification with Gaussians, and how you can train neural networks in a discriminative way so that you don't have to model the generative distribution. Okay, so this would be the last part of the course. So basically, I thought this may be a useful way of trying to make sense of the material that we've covered. Okay, so there are three broad areas, each of which has got one simple concept. And you can see all the stuff that we've done in the lectures as essentially fleshing out this concept. Okay. The primary concept is just get the data, do something with the geometry implied by the data by using the simplest possible aspect of its geometry, the distance between the various data points. Following that, we've introduced notions of statistics, so how we can model the way the data is generated. We've given examples, so you could easily see that text classification or Gaussians are just but two examples of this paradigm. There isn't anything fundamental about Gaussians in the way we are using them. Okay, it could be any other distribution. They just happen to be a very convenient distribution that is very frequently used. And then the third part of the lecture, so the neural network part of the lectures, was really mostly about trying to focus on the discriminative paradigm and try to train algorithms without having to model how inputs and outputs are generated, but just by focusing on how we partition the data. So, ball is in your court now. Any questions from the newcomers? So this is basically, the way I view the course from a high-level point of view. Okay, there are three concepts that I've tried to introduce, and the rest is details. But of course, the details are also important. I think the British used to say that the devil is in the details, and you can bet the exam will be in the details as well. No. I'm not saying anything about what the exam is going to be about. The exam will cover, there will be three questions. And you'll have to choose a certain number of questions. You don't have to answer all the questions. But it's going to be covering, it could cover anything in the material. Of course, I am aware that some things have gone faster than others, so my point in the exam is not to fail as many people as possible. Quite the opposite, actually. It's just to find out that people understand what's happened. Yeah, that's a good assumption. It's worth checking because this year is a different lecturer. But I think that the style is exactly very similar, in fact. So the number of questions will be the same, and the kind of things you'll be asked to do could be very similar. So there typically would be some marks associated to, say, showing something that you've seen in the lectures or perhaps in the tutorials. And then there would be some kind of example questions,
you're given this data to model with this type, you know, do some calculations. You will be allowed calculators. You can also ask questions about the content of the course, not just the exam. You know. Any more questions? Otherwise, as the people that were standing for elections have mentioned, it is a nice day, and you don't get as many as these in Edinburgh. So I'm happy for you to go and enjoy the rest of your day. Okay, see you later.
Of the product of the deviation from the mean to the
variable. Yeah.
Now, you may have a single variable, a single vector variable, in which case the two variables would be two different components.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what it tells us. So it tells us whether the different components are correlated.
Okay. So it's, you know, in the notes you it mentioned if you know one is large and the other, and you can sort of predict how they'll
yes.
vary.
So that's an interesting thing that it's not a calculation that we've done, but this would be called the conditional distribution.
Okay.
So if you have say an alpha, now suppose you observe the x variable here. Okay, so you know that you have this. You want to know what is the probability distribution on this line. It turns out that it is Gaussian, and you can compute the mean of that probability distribution. So if it were true, that calculation, you would find out that in the case where the two variables are highly correlated, then if one of them is large, then that chance most of the probability distribution would be essentially centered
around
large versus
okay.
small.
Okay.
So in this sense, it allows us to predict. When you do, for example, time series, what you typically do is you formulate your model in a condition of formula. So that you say, say if you have a random walk, you say, well,
yeah, okay.
here and then.
So it only depends, you know, the future only depends on the present, not
exactly.
the past.
It's called
the
Markov
yeah.
process.
Markov process, yeah.
And in this case, so you're, if all of your variables are Gaussians, you could also look at it in terms of a joint Gaussian variable. And then knowing one would tell you where the next would be, or would give you some indication where the next would be.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And when we plotted the Gaussians,
yeah.
it's really bad. I went through all the notes, but still describing exactly like all it did, you had your cluster, you modeled the data
mm-hmm.
in a graph. Had 3D graph and you had your clusters. And the Gaussians were around each cluster.
Yeah.
Now I found one point, and those Gaussians, what exactly? It's just classifying them, isn't it? Saying all these points within this region are
yeah.
with to do with this mean, this
yeah.
cluster.
Yeah,
this
but they also have this covariance structure.
Okay.
Yeah, so, for example, you could easily find that one cluster has a very strong correlation between the two variables.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And another cluster is there. There's no correlation. Right, because, okay, this is the mean, so let's rescale things to the mean. Now, if I'm here, And the probability, so along these axes, the one probability is still symmetric about zero. So that means that knowing that this was big has not told me anything about where one is. Because if I am here, it's still the same. So in that sense. Yeah, so this would be an interesting result, because you could say maybe some cluster arises out of a mechanism where there are strong correlations, and another one is just
random. That's one thing I forgot to comment on my report. I should have done that. Because one of my points was sort of out of the Gaussian. You could see the point there.
So the marking of the report...
Oh, it's not that. It's just how it was modeled. It's just a good example to see how this works.
So I know, I mean, we've had SSL yesterday, and so there were some... irritated people because there wasn't enough guidance on how to comment. But on the other hand, you know, you should be able to draw some conclusions from results that you get, and then, you know, pretty much the rule would be if you make sense in the comments, you will get points. But the reason
this is one of the things that are sort of how do we analyze the gas because the covariance matrix. You looked up covariance, and I understood, you know, it's the expectation. But then when you're trying to relate it to this particular case, I found it a little difficult.
Right.
We covered a lot of material. And also, in next year's IMA, Introduction to Applied Machine Learning is another course. To what extent are, like, the maths covered in there? Like, when you covered the probability, I have to say, I understood it so much better than when we'd done it in our maths probability module.
Thank you very much.
So much better. Is it covered again, sort of? I'm not
I think sure. that they'll assume that you've seen it to be. I mean, it's not going to be. Let's say, let's do this diagram, okay? So you start your second year at the total machine learning knowledge. And to be in the third year, IML will start here.
Okay.
And in the fourth year, expect not too much. MLPR will start still here, so you still see multivariate Gaussians.
Uh-huh.
And we'll bring you here.
Okay.
So none of the courses is going to kind of assume that you're absolutely fresh in your mind every single word.
It's not so much. When you put the probability into, you know, in terms of classification and clustering and things, it makes so much more sense, you know, why you're doing this. In pure maths, all I see is definitions and declaring variables. And while I enjoy doing probability here, like, it made so much sense just why you're using them. In maths, sometimes I just can't see why I'm doing things anymore.
Yeah.
You just do them.
You have to like maths.
I like maths. But I'm not particularly enjoying the way we're being taught.
I never did maths here, so I don't know.
Okay, I completely understand. Like, the things you've covered in probability here, completely understand it, and it's fun to do.
Good.
Then
great.
I missed the SSL meeting. I didn't get a... I'm the class rep. I didn't get a message about it. I filled in a form saying this is the days when I'm free.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I didn't know you were a class rep.
That's because...
I don't know who's a class rep. I just know them from... they come to the meeting, but...
Sometimes I couldn't... Last semester I was a class rep as well. Couldn't come to any of the meetings because every single meeting was scheduled when I had labs on Mondays, electronics labs.
Right, so it was a lab. It was a Monday again. Perhaps they assumed that you couldn't come.
Maybe. I feel that... Okay, I'll take... Thank you so much.
No problem at all.